Thank you. Okay, today we are looking at chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, and it has 12 verses. And the theme here is David flees to the Philistines. The study highlights David fleeing to the Philistines and living in Ziklag under King Achish. The reason for going to the Philistines was that David feared that one day he would die by Saul's hand. In Ziklag, David and his men were involved in secret raids of Israel enemies. However, David deceived King Achish that he and his men were actually raiding his fellow Israelites. So let's start with David and his men went to Gath. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." David saying that he shall perish by the hand of Saul one day implies that as the Lord's elect, we must be wary of the devices of the devil, which will cost us our lives of being robbed of the kingship as he uses our brothers and sisters from the church system of this world, represented by Saul, as his instrument to put us to death spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." David going to the land of the Philistines suggests that if he remained in Israel, he shall surely be killed by Saul and his men. This action by David signifies that if we remain as the Lord's elect in the church system of this world or Babylon, we shall surely die spiritually. The Philistines represents our flesh, and being under the influence of our flesh means being of the world. David going to the land of the Philistines, therefore, means hiding among the people of this world, just as Jesus did when his brethren from the church system of his day wanted to kill him because of his message. We, his elect, are in the world and not of this world. We are therefore hiding in plain sight among the people of this world from our brothers and sisters in Babylon. John chapter 8, verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, talking about Jesus. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 to 30. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them, went his way. It is when one is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that we are recognized or seen as the Lord's elect among the people of this world. It is the same as Jesus being recognized by the disciples when their eyes were opened after a meal. It is when Jesus serves us the meal of his word that our eyes are opened to recognize who Jesus is. As he is, so are we. It is when people's eyes are opened by the meal we serve that they recognize who we are. That means representatives of Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 30 to 31. And it came to pass as he sat at meal with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. 1 John 4, 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. First Samuel chapter 27, verse 2. And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him into Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. David went over from Israel to Achish, king of Gath, with 600 men. The number 6 is the number of man. Therefore, David going to Gath with 600 men indicates that they represent mere men, like the Philistines, who have received the grace of the Lord. That is why many cannot recognize the Lord's elect. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Acts chapter 14, verse 14 says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, ran in among the people, crying out and saying, says, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities into the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein. What distinguished David and his men from the Philistines and the people of Israel was that they were going through the Lord's judgment when they went to Gath. Incidentally, Gath means winepress, which stands for judgment. It is also instructive to note that Achish means I will blacken. It emphasizes the point that David and his men were undergoing the judgment of the Lord. During times of judgment, it seems our heavens are blackened as we cannot see the light of the sun, which represents Christ. Paul, during the time of his journey to Rome, experienced the judgment of the Lord, said that he could not see the sun or the stars for many days. All of us have, in one way or another, experienced or are yet to experience the judgment of the Lord, where we wonder whether the Lord, who is the Son, is with us. Acts chapter 27, verse 18 to 20. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Isaiah 54, 7 and 8 says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord thy Redeemer. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 3 and 4. And David dwelt in Achish at Gath. He dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David and his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the Carmelites, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. As indicated, David dwelling with Achish at Gath shows that David was undergoing the judgment of the Lord. The fact that every man lived with his household at Gath shows us that everyone's work shall be made manifest through the judgment of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In another perspective, David and his men living among the Philistines in Gath shows us that they were still of the flesh, and as a result, they could not please the Lord. When we are of the flesh, it is impossible to bear the testimony of Christ. And our brothers and sisters of the church system of this world do not see us as threat to their perceived status as heirs of the Lord. That is why Saul did not continue his pursuit of David. In a similar vein, Esau, who represents people of this world, stopped his pursuit of Jacob, who signifies the Lord's elect, when he realized that Jacob has gone back to Babylon. That is Haran. It shows that when our lives are not different from our brothers and sisters in Babylon, we do not pose a threat to them. Genesis chapter 27, verse 43 to 45. Now, therefore, my son, that is Jacob, obey my voice and arise and flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turns away from thee and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from there. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? David and his men came to dwell at Ziklag. 1 Samuel chapter 27, 5 and 6. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thy eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Whereupon Ziklag pertains unto the kings of Judah unto this day. In spite of David's status as heir apparent to the throne of Saul, he was very respectful to Achish, the king of Gath, such that he called him Lord. It implies that we must submit to those in authority. We must look to the leaders of this world as God's ministers who are executing the Lord's will as they reign over us. Romans chapter 13, verse 5 to 7. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all who is owned to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. 1 Samuel 27, 7. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. It is instructive to note that David stayed in the land of the Philistines for a period of 16 months. The number 16 is an amplification of the number 8, which signifies the birth of the new man. It is the birth of the new man which causes us to reign over the flesh. Second Chronicles chapter 27, verse 6, and then verse 8. So Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Second Kings chapter 15, verse 2 says, he, that is Azariah, was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Second Chronicles chapter 26, verse 3 says, Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jeconiah. I think it's the first to the same area, I don't know. But we are therefore being told in verse 7 about David's stay in the land of the Philistines is that it was during this period he started reigning over his flesh. Through the Lord's judgment, we learn righteousness as our flesh is dying and the new man attains ascendancy over our flesh. At this point, we begin to exhibit more of the qualities of the new man. Our love, that is obedience, for the Lord is deepened as we put off our flesh on the eighth day, which is amplified in the 16th day, resulting in the following. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. David raids against Israel's enemies. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 8. Now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites and the Gizites and the Amalekites. For these were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as far as Sheol, to the land of Egypt. The Geshurites, Gizites, and the Amalekites all represent our flesh. As indicated, David's stay in Gath was characterized by the amplification of the new man. As the old man or the flesh continues to die, the defeat of the Geshurites, the Gizites, and the Amalekites shows various phases of our victory over the flesh, as the Lord selected, represented by David and his men. If we are to please the Lord, then we must overcome the flesh, which is hostile to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 to 8 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. For example, Geshurites means proud behavior. The defeat of Geshurites, therefore, represents our victory over the pride of life in our walk with Christ. Gizites means cut us off. David's victory over Gizites refers to our victory over the flesh, which cuts us off from the life of Christ. Amalekites are descendants of Esau. And as we are aware, Esau was a man of the field. And we know that the field represents the world. What this means is that Amalekites signifies our love of the world, which is characterized by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The defeat of the Amalekites by David and his men indicates that David and his men were being delivered from the love of the world. Loving the world means that we exhibit the following characteristics. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that are like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. David and his men overcoming the Geshurites, Gizites, and Amalekites means that we are being delivered from the deeds of the flesh, as the flesh is dying daily. The dying of the flesh results in us producing the fruit of the Spirit, which shows itself in the following, Galatians 5, 22 to 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. 1 Samuel 27:9. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. David leaving no man or woman alive indicates that in our war against our flesh, we should be ruthless, such that we do not allow some areas of our flesh to still exert dominion over us. There are many who think that we cannot overcome the flesh, and therefore they allow certain habits of the flesh to flourish under the guise that we cannot completely eradicate sin in our lives. Yes, the Bible does not speak about complete eradication of sin in our lives, but sin must be rare in our lives as the flesh is being destroyed daily. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. In verse 9, David and his men killed all men and women during their raids, but took the sheep, oxen, asses, camels, and apparel. The sheep, oxen, asses, and camels represent spiritual riches in Christ. As we are being given victory over our flesh, our spiritual insight is being enriched. It also means that our supply, our Lord will supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 19 and 20 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The apparel or garment taken from the conquest refers to the righteousness of Christ being imputed on us as we continue this journey of overcoming the flesh. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, and to her was granted that he should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 10. And Achish said, whether have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah and against the south of Jerahmeelites and against the south of the Kenites. The Jerahmeelites were the descendant of Jerahmeel, the great grandson of Judah. The Kenites were the tribe from which the father-in-law of Moses was a member. To the people of this world, symbolized by Achish, our victory over the flesh is hidden from their sight, as shown by David not disclosing the specific victory that he has won with his men. Instead, they think that we are like them who are hostile to the church system of this world because we do not participate in the church's activities. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 11. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwells in the country of the Philistines. Again, in this verse, the emphasis is on the thoroughness of our victory over the flesh, such that we leave nothing of the flesh alive to hurt us. This implies that we must not entertain any living or false doctrine which empowers our flesh to cause havoc in our walk with Christ. Galatians 5, 9 to 10. A little living leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that he will be none otherwise minded, but he that trouble you shall bear his judgment. whosoever he is. 1 Samuel 27, 12. And Achish believed David, saying, "He has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever." What Achish, the king of Gath, said about David in regard to the people of Israel's hatred for him is true in the sense that we are hated by our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world or Babylon because of the truth we speak. They consider us as spiritually dead in the streets of the church system of this world. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8 and 9 says, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." The people of this world, represented by Achish, think that we are like them or working for them, that is servants, since they hate the church system of this world. However, we do not hate our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world because they refuse to hear us. Rather, we appreciate how the Lord had used them to bring us to Christ, and that it is through their unbelief that we have received mercy from the Lord to become his elect. Our confidence is that in the fullness of time, the mercy we have received from the Lord shall be extended to them to become part of the children of the Lord. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 36. It says, "For as you in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.